Welcome to Support After Abortions podcast. My name is Nathan Masserian, and I'll be hosting a dedicated series called Men Healing from Trauma. In our culture, men are not validated who've experienced trauma through miscarriage, pregnancy loss, or even abortion. Through this series, you'll hear firsthand experiences. You'll also hear from clergy, clinicians, and experts in the field of healing to provide practical ways that both men and women can heal from the impact of abortion. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Nathan Masserian with Support After Abortion. Today we have a special guest with us, Greg Hasek, who is a clinician and also has graciously been a member of our national task force. The purpose of this episode is to be able to uncover what are the reasons that hold men back from seeking help when they've been impacted by abortion. So Greg Hasek, thank you so much for joining us today. Just give us a little background on your professional experience, and then we're going to just go through a discovery today on the barriers that hold men back from seeking help.
Okay, Nathan, I have been specializing in how abortion affects men since around 2004. I have been in the counseling field for over 20 years, and I currently am a therapist in charge of a practice that's called Southwest Florida Christian Counseling here in Florida. And I'm just excited to be here today with you and ready to talk about this issue together.
Thank you. Part of the reasons we're doing this broadcast is the topic about men being impacted by abortion is certainly not dinner conversation. It's certainly not something you see on the news. On occasion, maybe you'll come across it in social media. But in your clinical practice for the last 25 years, as well as teaching at the college and graduate level, you've identified a number of barriers that hold men back from seeking treatment, from even identifying that they've been negatively impacted by abortion. So why don't you just start us off with what are some of the barriers you've seen that hold men back?
Yeah, so when we think about the barriers, Nathan, there's so many barriers, and I'm going to start with one, is men are invalidated for trauma in our country in general. So that's a major barrier for men seeking treatment. They just don't get validation from our culture when they go through any type of trauma, except possibly when they're traumatized in like war as a soldier. But in general, men are not validated for the different types of trauma they experience, whether it's childhood trauma or trauma as adults. And so for a man that's had an abortion, it's very difficult to come forward when they think that they're not even validated for what experience they're having. Our culture basically says to men that you shouldn't hurt from an abortion experience, and women should only be the ones that hurt. And so men are oftentimes left out of the equation. The second thing I want to say, Nathan, is that in our culture in general, when men grow up, we know that they're conditioned at a young age to not show emotions and to not cry. We've heard that, you know, growing up oftentimes from parents. And then we have another layer. We have our culture that says men should be tough. They shouldn't ask for help. So we have, you know, multiple reasons why once they reach the age of they had an abortion, they've been pretty much conditioned throughout their years of growing up as a child in terms of their gender and also in our culture that really it's a weakness to seek help. And so when you're talking about a man that's had an abortion in his experience, it's so shameful. And then of course you got the other barriers that they've already grown up with. So it is a really challenge to reach these men. And one of the questions I wanted to come with this morning was, where are these millions of men? I mean, we obviously know that there's millions out there that have an experienced abortion, but we don't see them. And oftentimes I say we have to look for them in different ways in terms of maybe how their symptoms are showing up in our culture versus actually coming out and saying, I've had an abortion.
But one of the things I've learned from you, Greg, is that there's a maybe a clinical term about presenting issues, and that men may not raise their hand to talk about trauma or an abortion, but they would be willing to say, you know, the issue with my long-term partner, with my spouse is disintegrating, or I can't figure out why I keep churning relationships on a regular basis, or maybe there's something with alcoholism or other addictions. How have you seen that in the clinical practice? And secondly, how do you uncover some of the deeper trauma that's not obvious to them, maybe obvious to you at first?
First, when we look at the number of men that actually attend counseling, we know about 80% of those that attend counseling are females. And oftentimes I will joke about the other 20% are those that are being drugged by their wife. And so that in general, men just don't show up to a counseling office. What they do show up in my office for is when they're in a crisis, and oftentimes it's an addiction. And so I have the opportunity to talk with these men and work through their addictions. And oftentimes behind that presenting problem of addiction is possible past abortion experience they've never talked to anyone about, even their wife. And so oftentimes what I'm doing with men is trying to connect some of the dots back to potentially maybe that past abortion experience is impacting the presenting problem of addiction. So these are where the men are coming, as they're coming for these presenting problems and not for the abortion experience.
We have so much to talk about, and I'm going to pull from something that you presented in our March 2021 conference on support after abortion. You talked about the type of trauma that men experience at the moment the abortion's happening. And I'm just going to tee this up for you. You've talked about there is an innate drive that men are to protect. And during the abortion experience, talk about how that gets disrupted for the man and why that leads to a trauma.
First, oftentimes research shows that men actually experience more trauma than women after an abortion. And oftentimes that's not understood. One of the reasons why is men feel omnipotent responsibility for a double loss and a double trauma in terms of how they perceive that. One is they fail to protect their partner from going through the abortion experience, but also they fail to protect their child. So men have this double omnipotent responsibility that they carry inside of them, and oftentimes it's traumatic for them. The other is at the conference, I talked about what a male experiences sitting in the abortion clinic if they take their partner there with them. Oftentimes they went after the partner has the abortion, they get caught in not being able to kind of act on the natural instinct of protecting their partner, which was called the fight. And then they're not able to act on that natural fight when something traumatic's happening. And the fight to protect their partner from what's happening in the other room when their female is going through the abortion experience, and the fail to protect and fight for their child that's being lost in the other room. And when that partner comes out of that clinic, they look at each other, and that female was not able to act on her flight, which would be to get off the table and run and not have that abortion experience happen. And the male is able then to look at that female and see that loss, and he wasn't able to act on that fight experience. And so I call that a double kind of trauma at the abortion clinic for the male and female.
That's really a powerful set of insights.
Yeah.
And so what I just want to say to our audience who's watching and listening, I'm going to just invite Greg to just walk us through what might be the typical presenting symptoms. So for those who, as men, have experienced abortion, you may have repressed it, you may have stuffed it down, you may have forgotten about it. I'm going to invite Greg to just walk through some examples that you might be experiencing that need to be addressed, but also the underlying or the deeper roots that are there. And then for women who are watching and listening, you may have a partner who you may relate to what Greg's going to speak to. You may also be a leader in a counseling organization. And when men come in, you may see some of these presenting issues. You may not see the root issue at first. So Greg, just in closing for us in your practice, what are some of the presenting crises or symptoms that you see, and really help our audience become aware that there's more to it than just working too much on a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah, yeah. So oftentimes, one of my specialization area is a sexual addiction. And oftentimes when I'm working with my clients, about 30-40% of my clients are presenting with a sexual addiction, have an abortion in their experience, in their past. It's not just that abortion experience, it's the possible trauma that was at the root of their addiction, but there's oftentimes other previous traumas as a child that they experienced, they all oftentimes didn't deal with either. So you have childhood trauma, then you have one more layer of now an abortion trauma that they haven't dealt with, say maybe in their early 20s. Now what's happening is they're coming to my office with a presenting problem of sexual addiction as an adult. Maybe they're married now in their 20s or 30s. And so you have these multiple layers of trauma, but the presenting problem is now a sexual addiction, and their wife comes to them and says, if you don't get help, we can't stay married. They give me a call, they show up at my office. What I'm able to do with them is to kind of peel back the layers of that onion. And one of those possible layers that's contributing to their addiction is possible that abortion-related trauma that they haven't dealt with. The other thing I want to say is an abortion wound is an attachment wound.
Tell us what you mean by that.
Yeah, what I mean by that is when a male or a female loses that child due to an abortion, how we were wired and how God created us was to attach to that child and to attach to each other through that experience of having a child, because oftentimes couples come together and they attach, but they also want to attach to that child. Once that abortion happens, it's a break of attachment. They're not able to attach to that child. The after effect of that is so traumatic oftentimes, where a man will isolate, they'll actually put walls around themselves, they'll become detached from their partner. This is what often sets them up for addiction, because they're no longer able to feel and they're detached from their partner. So oftentimes I see affairs, I see sexual addictions, but the unfortunate part is 80% of these relationships fail after they've had an abortion together. And so what we know is that detachment that happens is it has, you know, detrimental effects to the relationship. But oftentimes when they look at each other after that abortion experience, there's so much shame and blame that if you loved me, why couldn't we get through this? Why couldn't we overcome this challenge? That means, what does that mean for our relationship? What does that mean for our marriage? And so oftentimes we see these relationships ending after that abortion decision. So I think we need to look at presenting symptoms first in terms of why are men coming to counseling. The second is, are they having a problem with attachment? It actually might even show up in attachment to their current children.
Can you give us an example of what that might look like? Again, just to help our audience either look at themselves or look at others as a way of identifying somebody who's in need.
Yeah. Like, for example, I can think of one client when he would lay in bed with his wife that he had the abortion experience with. He could not touch her in the bed at night. He would lay there. He wouldn't touch her. He was rigid. He also had this experience with his current children. He couldn't, when he would try to hold his children or bond with his children, he was having a hard time just like making that experience happen in a natural way. And his wife was concerned that the children were experiencing that attachment or that detachment from happening. And so this is what we kind of look for, is like, because God wired us for a bond. As soon as that pregnancy starts, the male is wired to bond and protect that child. The male is wired to bond with the female through the pregnancy. When that doesn't happen, there's a cut in that bond. And so now what are they going to bond to? Sometimes for the presenting problem of addiction, they're bonding to something fake, which is their addiction, in order to medicate the pain from that lost child. So that's where we see a lot of addiction as a result. You know, depression, anxiety, These are other presenting problems, unresolved grief. And when we talk about men in grief, we call it sometimes a double enfranchised grief. What I mean by that is it's a grief that they stuff because they don't think they deserve to grieve from the loss of their child. But then the culture says they don't deserve to grieve. And so there's nowhere for a man to go to say, I'm hurting from abortion experience. So they have this grief that they carry inside everywhere they go. There's nowhere for them to go to.
That is a heavy burden.
Exactly.
It's a heavy burden.
Yeah. And oftentimes we say, guys, where they go to when they're in pain, it's to the bar to drink.
But other people can lose themselves in work, or as you said, other relationships that are are a fake representative of the genuine bond that was designed to be there.
Exactly.
Thank you for connecting the dots on that. We know that this podcast is not the end all. We will be having additional conversations with Greg. So we invite you back to watch additional or listen to additional episodes as we really dig deeper as to the best way we can help men heal and improve when they've been impacted after an abortion. Thank you for participating in today's broadcast. If you or someone you know has been impacted by abortion, we are here to help, and you are not alone. Our trained staff will meet you with compassion and confidentiality simply by visiting us at supportafterabortion.com. There you'll find a confidential phone number and contact us, in which our staff are standing by, ready to help you and be of assistance.